John chapter 15. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The ultimate expression of love is surrendering ourselves that others may live. And that's what tomorrow is about, Memorial Day. You know, in love, we give deference, don't we? How many of you ever did something not because you wanted to, but because your spouse wanted to? Right? And in fact, a lot of times we do things because we have deference toward others. Jesus has had the communion meal with the apostles, Passover. In that Passover, he has now gone to institute communion, excuse me, expressing that that body, that bread represents his body, which is broken for us, and that wine represents his blood, which is sacrificed for us, poured out for us. That he is the New Testament, that he is the new covenant for our faith. And so they've had communion, they've sung a song. Of course, Judas Iscariot has gone to betray him and to tell the priests where they can find him and have him arrested. They're walking from the Passover chamber across the Kidron Valley, so from the old city of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, the Mount of Olives. You can see all those olive trees there on the hillside, and there's a little grotto there, a little cave, where they would mash the olives to get the juice and get the olive oil out of them. And in that cave is where some of the apostles stayed, and Jesus went up a little further, and of course he prayed, if you recall, three times. The angels ministered to him in his hour of need when he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That is the context. They are walking from the Passover chamber to the garden, and Jesus says in verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now he's walking in a very beautiful scene here among the olive trees. And I didn't see any grapes there when I was there, but it makes sense. They have a oil press. It could also be a wine press. And so he uses the grapes, the vine, not a tree, but a vine. I am the vine, he says. And just think about a vine. Picture it in your mind, if you will. The vine. The connectedness, the everything is connected. It's all connected to each other. It all comes back to the root. It's all interconnected, intertwined, and intermingled. And though as it goes out, it attaches itself to other things, doesn't it? And Jesus is talking about being the true vine and that we are the branches. So as we come off of that vine and we connect in the world, and what are we doing? We're connecting with friends, and we're connecting with acquaintances, people at work, and people in the community, and we're sharing that love. What comes with us, wherever we grow, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we grow. And so, are people seeing Jesus in us? You know, what fruit are we going to produce? He goes on and he says this, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, even when we're doing well, we have to understand there are still going to be some struggles. There are still going to be times where what we used to do has to go away, and what we used to, where we used to go has to change. We have to make changes in our lives in order to grow. How many of you can no longer relate to some friends that you used to have? Right? You outgrew them. You didn't grow in the same direction. You didn't grow in the same way. And so they had to be purged. It says that God, the husbandman, the farmer, the keeper of the vine, God is the one that removes those friends from our lives. How many times has God removed somebody from our life and we keep going back and trying to bring them back in? And you know, friendship shouldn't be hard. Marriage shouldn't be hard. But we complicate it sometimes by introducing other things that don't need to be part of it. Life should be simple. It should be easy. Don't make it hard. Don't make it hard for you. Don't make it hard for them. Don't force something that doesn't work. And, of course, you don't say the pastor said we should get a divorce because it was hard. No, I didn't say that. But got to figure out why one of you might be growing in the wrong direction. And it's got to start growing back together again. You ever try to take a vine down? They latch on, don't they? And that's like a Baptist grip right there. Man, we grip on and you can't remove us. We don't want to be removed. But sometimes it has to be removed, has to be purged. He said even when you're bringing forth fruit, God wants you to bring forth more fruit. He wants you to do even better than you do. How many of you want to do better than you're doing right now? Maybe that's your health. Maybe that's your relationships. Whatever it is in life, you say, there's something in my life that could be better. Well, God can get you there. God can get you in that better situation. But it's going to happen through purging. It's going to happen through some things being removed. Look at verse 3. Oh, wait, verse 2. I got to say this. When we talk about fruit, what are we talking about? Because I think so many times we misunderstand it. And for that, I just want to let the Bible interpret itself. The Bible always gives you a better understanding than you can just by drawing conclusions. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So far, so good, right? I'm loving this. Long-suffering, that's a little harder. That's a little harder. Gentleness, again, a good thing. Goodness. Faith, how many of you think faith is a good thing? But you know, faith is a hard thing, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to the book of Hebrews. And so if you're not seeing it, but you're believing in it, there's always that room for doubt. And so faith is a hard thing too. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So he says here, the fruit. So what is the fruit that I'm supposed to produce? What are people supposed to see in me? One of the boys asked the other day, do trees bloom? And I said, sure do. Well, how come I don't see any fruit? Well, it depends on the tree as to what the fruit's going to look like. But if you look at an apple tree, what do you expect to see? Some apples. Or an orange tree, you expect to see some oranges, and on we go. We expect to see some fruit. So when people look at Christians, when people look at us, what do they expect to see? What should they expect to see? What in their minds is a Christian like? We were talking before church about a fellow who doesn't want to hear about Christian things, doesn't want to hear about Jesus, doesn't want to hear about church, and that's all you ever talk about. Well, that should be all we ever talk about. Let me tell you something. If you don't want to hear about Jesus, then, I mean, you need to know if you're around us, you're going to run a risk. If you come to church, I went to a funeral one time, and the pastor didn't say anything about Jesus, and come to find out it's because the family said, we don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And you say, well, that's unreasonable. You're right, it is unreasonable. But in order to kind of show the family love and grace, he managed to do it. Guys, don't expect to come to church and not hear about Jesus. If you go to church and don't hear about Jesus, that's a problem. We need to be all about Jesus. And so what is that fruit that people should see in us and see on us in our lives? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. They ought to see it. They ought to see that we can believe things we can't see. They ought to see that we have love even in those situations where it's hard to love. How many of you have ever been unlovable? I mean, just for a minute. But I'm sure in our lives there have been times where we said, how can anybody love me? And yet God loved us. And so we need to show that kind of love to others. Again, go back to verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. To lay down his life, to give it all up for somebody else. And And we find things to complain about and be miserable about. We've just talked about two situations this morning where a man and a family lost Cindy when she died suddenly. And one that's in the hospital now, critical. Guys, we ought to be thankful that we're up and alive and breathing and able to do all the things we can do. Instead of being grumblers all the time. And so that fruit, he says, verse 3, now you are clean through the Word. I just can't get my mind right. Read the Bible. I've got a bad attitude. How many of you could ever admit you had a bad attitude? Read your Bible. How am I cleaned? Through the Word. The Word which I have spoken, Jesus said. Get in the Gospels. Read. I don't say go back and read Judges, but read the Gospels. Right? Leviticus might not help you too much if you got a bad attitude, but get in the Gospels. Jesus said, through the Word which I spoke to you. You know, if we'll read the Scriptures, it will change our mind. It will change our perception. It will change our hearts. Yes, I have known some wicked people, some evil people, some manipulative, mean people who read the Bible. Yes, I have. But I can tell you what it does for me. It does exactly what Jesus said it would do. It cleanses me. It cleans my mind. It cleans my heart. It cleans my attitude. It changes me through the Word, Spirit-led Bible study and application. You are clean through the Word which I have spoken. Verse 4, abide in me. Just rest in Him. Abide in me. What is abide? What are you doing right now? You're abiding. You're sitting in that pew, abiding. Are you working hard at it? Does it take a lot of energy to sit there? Maybe to sit still. That's what he said, abide in me. Rest in Him. Just live in Him. Our hope is in Him. And I in you. I'm abiding in Him. He's abiding in me. It's a spiritual thing. I'm resting in Him. He is resting in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Our sustenance is drawn from Jesus. You say, well, I'm just feeling run down. Look, I know we can all get to that point. But here's my question. How much time you spent with Jesus? You know, God said something in the Ten Commandments. He said, rest on the Sabbath day. Honor the Sabbath. Keep it holy. It is the Lord's day. Do no work. You know why He gave us one day a week and He said, sit there and do nothing? Do something you enjoy, but don't do any work? Because we need that. Our bodies need that. Our minds need that. We're running, you know, 7 days a week, 18, 19 hours a day, always busy doing something, always working on something, always planning on. God says, hey, take a break. Rest. How many of you feel lazy when you rest? Yeah, we do, because we've trained ourselves to be workaholics. But it's not good for us. We've got to rest. Again, is it a hobby? Is it something you enjoy doing? Okay, then that's not work. But He says if you're working, you're not resting. So know the difference. And so we can't bear fruit unless we're abiding in Him. So we've got to abide in Him. Except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You cannot bear fruit. You can do nothing without Jesus. I can do nothing without Jesus. What are we talking about? We're talking about in a Christian perspective. We're talking about ministry. I don't know why you would want to try to minister and leave Jesus outside. I don't know why any church would want to try to have a service and push Jesus outside. Jesus needs to be central in our sermon, central in our music, central in our teaching, central in our fellowship. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because He says, if you're not abiding in me, you can't do anything anyway. You're going to defeat yourself. You're going to trip over yourself. And I put this in my notes. We got to spend time with Jesus. Prayer, Bible study, and silence. Just be with Him. Just sit there. You're not asking for anything, not saying anything, just mindful of His presence. I've noticed along the way that when people are uncomfortable, they got to talk. Y'all ever notice that? Some people talk a lot because they're always uncomfortable. But isn't it nice when you can just be sitting with someone and you don't have to say anything? And they don't have to say anything because you're just comfortable in their presence. We need to get to that point with Jesus where we recognize and acknowledge his presence. And he's not talking to us. We're not talking to him. We're just there. Just enjoying each other's company. But without him, we have nothing. And without him, we can do nothing. Verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Apart from him, our Christian life, okay? We're talking about somebody got saved, accepted Christ as our Savior. We believe in the Lord. But outside of walking with him and abiding in him and communing with him, outside of him, we leave Jesus out, we're going to find problems. Fiery problems, judgment, destruction. When we don't include Jesus, we're going to keep having hard times. And as a Christian, again, if you're having a hard time, look back. Where's Jesus? How much time have I spent with him? In his word, in his presence. We've got to stay in his presence. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Again, how do his words abide in us? We got to read it. We got to study it. My words abide in you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. What does that mean? I can ask for anything I want to. Look at what he said. If you're abiding in him, which means your faith is in him, your presence is in him, your acknowledgement is him, and you're in the word, which means that our mind is right. We're thinking about things God thinks about. Our mindset is Christian and biblical. Then you know what we're going to ask for? We're going to ask for things that agree with God. You say, well, I've been reading my Bible. I want a Ferrari. Well, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Reading your Bible won't even get you a Pinto, you know. And God didn't say, I'll give you whatever you want in your heart. Look, he said, if you're resting in me, if you're in my word, your mind will be right. And when you pray, you'll ask for the right things and you'll receive them. That's what we need to understand. He doesn't say we're going to be rich. He says our mind will be right because we've been in the word. And when we pray, our prayers will be right. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He loves us like the Father loved him. And what has the Father done for him? Well, the Father brought him back and resurrected him from the grave, didn't he? Gave him a life, gave him ministry, gave him opportunity, gave him power to heal and to love and to raise from the dead. God has given him power. And Jesus said, now I love you like the Father loved me. Continue in my love. How are we going to live? We're going to live in the love of Jesus. We're going to share the love of Jesus. We're going to experience it, and we're going to express it. That's what we've got to do. Too many of us just want to experience it, but we don't want to express it. But Jesus says we've got to do both. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. How many of you, don't raise your hand on this. How many of you have joy this morning? I mean, you're happy. In, right out, right up, right down, right. Happy all the time. Is that you? Are you happy? Do you have joy? When you look at your life, are you grateful? Do you just think, I'm so blessed? Somebody said that this morning. Blessed, highly blessed and highly favored. I'm highly favored. God's been good to me. Is the answer. I'm blessed. Do you have that joy? That my joy might remain in you. And look at what he says. And that your joy might be full. How many of you have full joy this morning? Filled up. Just grateful. Just pleased with life. And that's what he says. That your joy might be full. How many of you have ever run empty in that department? Yeah. We get distressed and discouraged and depressed and we're running on, you know, fumes. No joy, no happiness, and just beaten down. He says that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're walking from the Passover chamber to Gethsemane, where he'll be arrested. He'll be walked back, placed in a holding pit, be taken to the courtyard and judged. The crowd will cry out, "Crucify him." They'll put a cross on him. He'll carry it through the streets to Golgotha, the place of the skull, where he will die. He will lay down his life for his friends. He said, "No man taketh my life. I give it." You know what he said? "No man taketh it, but I give it. I lay it down for my friends. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Do we love the way Jesus loves? Do we love with grace and with mercy, with deference, with sacrifice and surrender and submission? Not a love of convenience. There was a man that night who didn't hear all of this, who came walking up to Jesus with a crowd behind him. And Jesus stood up, opened his arms, and said, "Friend." And that man kissed Jesus on the cheek, which was the clue to the soldiers that he was the one to be arrested. Jesus said, "Friend." And here he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends." Judas Iscariot was a friend of Jesus. Judas was a betrayer. He was dishonest. He was a crook. He was a criminal. He was a backstabber, a liar, whatever term you want to throw at him. And Jesus loved him anyway. Do we show the same love? Because Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." We've got to love people. If we want them to see Jesus in us, and there has to be Jesus in us. He said, "Abide in my love, that your joy may be full." Would you stand? Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and to open your word. And even with some distractions, disruptions, and God, they're important matters. We don't take away from that. But I pray that you will bring our hearts back to your truth, back to your word. That we'll receive this message that you've given us today. That the greatest commandment is to love you and others. And that the greatest expression of that love is to lay ourselves aside up to the ultimate sacrifice, giving our lives if that's what's necessary. God, I pray this morning that if anyone in this room does not know you as Lord and Savior, right now from their heart they'll call out to you and say, "God, forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I trust you as my Savior. I give myself to you." Lord, as you said there, greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for his friends. God, today we lay our lives out before you. Save us, use us, redeem us. Make the most of the time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But you can talk to God where you stand this morning.
God, forgive me. God, save me. God, help me. God, help me to love others. Help me to not be so selfish. Help me to show love and grace as you have shown to me. Anything for dismissed? All right. Back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7. Anything for dismissed? All hearts and minds are clear. Let's pray, of course, for Sister Barbara and also for Sister Linda Veal. They did take Barbara to the hospital. So, anything else? Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?